Hey, gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. People, my ministry covers many areas. One of them is talking about that gay is not sin. Another one is talking about the last days. People, you're going to go through at least 1,260 days of the tribulation. You're going to see over 3 billion people get killed. And you might be one of them. You're going to see martial law. You're going to see United States, that the Constitution will be suspended. You're going to see these things. There's no question about it. You're going to go through periods of the tribulation, just the beginning part, at least 1,260 days. And I come on you and I try to talk about some of these things to help you understand these things. I talk about the Bible and Satan's counterfeit. Because Satan's a counterfeiter and he wants to counterfeit everything God. Come on, people. Don't just sit there and think that God's going to protect the Bible. You're right, because he did. The King James Version survived with the these and the thous. Doesn't matter if you don't like these and thous and thus saith it. If you want a counterfeit Bible, just pick up any modern version. And I'll try to explain this to you. And it doesn't seem like that any of you care a whole lot about stuff that involves studying material that's going to shake your faith in what you already believe. You're going to believe deceptions because you love those deceptions. You don't want to know the truth about anything. So I talk about the Bible and its origins. Now there's many things, many subjects on the Bible. Usually on this TV program, I just simply talk about main two issues is gay is not sin and last days and the shaking coming to the church. But my ministry is much more than that. I have a world outreach. Thousands of pastors all around the world. Go figure. You see that name up there that says Gays for Jesus? No, I've had this, you know, for 35 years basically, at least since the TV program started, which is 23 years ago. But I started a little bit earlier than that, officially got Gays for Jesus in 1985, about June. And there's a lot to my ministry. And I've been around to all the learning, as it were, of the Bible, reading the Bible, studying it, studying about the Holy Spirit. Boy, I didn't miss any workshop or anything like that. We had some pretty fantastic scholar preachers that on the circuit that I happened to be there to hear. I had the wonderful experience of being way out on Indian reservation to see the move of God in a place where there's no hospitals very close and it just, you know, they're still living in hogans often. And they're way out there in the wild there. It takes a little bit of time just to get to the little store up the hill. You know, I've been around here and there. You know, I'm not 61 for nothing. And a good part of my life now, I've been a Christian 35 years, Pentecostal Christian. So I learned considerable, and I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I love to praise his name. Jesus is so wonderful. And the move of God is fantastic. Many of you just don't think a gay person can possibly have that. Many of you just say it's impossible that Jesus could be with you. People, let me tell you, Jesus can be with gay people. He can move mightily at their hand. And Jesus does move mightily at my hand. Often when I speak, it happens. Healing. Lay your hands up. Be healed. My ministry is also a healing ministry. And I don't often talk about that part. But people, you know, times are changing. You see my email address up there. My chat name is Gays for Jesus or Pentecostal Gays for Jesus in Yahoo or Hotmail. However you like to chat, usually you'll find me there. If you need healing, Come talk to me. Let's get you healed of the physical problems and other problems as well. There's a lot about the Stables Ministries, Home of Gates for Jesus Television, that's going to get better known. It's already fairly well known. It's really amazing. In the international scene, there's over 1,000 pastors, international pastors, or pastors in other countries, that I'm almost like a pastor to them, it seems. They want me to teach them. They come to me. It's amazing. Still have that name, Gates for Jesus? Go figure. That's a problem for you, not me. They come to me. Go figure. They think God sent me. Doesn't matter what you think. The thing is, they come to me. And I have a ministry to them. And one of these days, I'm going to probably be traveling over there. Because, you know, what do you do when you get so many pastors pleading with you to come over there? And they say, God showed them the big revival and all that kind of thing. I talked for these people for long periods of time. They're not fly-by-night people. They sincerely believe. They have prayer chain. There's a couple of them that's got over 100 pastors praying to God that I come over to them. Why? I'm gay. They see the name Gays for Jesus. Go figure. Well, I know why. Because God will use me in those circumstances. I do have a healing ministry. You want to see God move in your church? There's two possibilities. Ordinary. Nothing's ordinary about getting instantly, dramatically healed. But ordinary in the sense that, hey, we do have many a minister out there that does have a healing ministry where they go out and lay hands. It used to be more pronounced. Now it's harder to find them. I guess they're still there. Once in a while we come across one that, but all of the main ones sort of passed away. They either died or they just disappeared somehow. We don't hear too much from them. Or they're still out there and somehow or another, I haven't just run across them anymore like they used to be. Some of them gone a little overboard, you know, like what all happens to ministries that get too famous. The church denominations that grow, and they grow. The founders had good intention, good heart, good spirit, reaching the lost for Christ. And they died away, you know, or they got famous. And then other people took over. And then it became we can call a headquarters. You had to do what the headquarters say. Otherwise, you'll be kicked out of the denomination. If you're a pastor, you abide by those rules, or you go independent. And as you notice, we got lots of independent churches these days because of the breakaways. And that's how it always is. The founders of big denomination had good intentions, they broke away from something and started a nice little, this is a small church on the corner that just loves the Lord. Wonderful songs about this kind of thing. And now we're in the same kind of a situation here. It's much worse because this is different. We're last days Christians. So Satan is working. He's full throttle, got the pedal to the metal, people. Satan's working overtime, raking in the dough. He's got a job to do. He's on a time schedule. Times are running out. The church has to support his Antichrist. The church has to believe ways so that they can accept Antichrist. You say, oh, no, no, no. This is what modern versions are all about. Conditioning you so that when that man over there appears, he'll have some pretty significant stuff, other counterfeit stuff that's going to coincide and merge with your modern version's concept, and suddenly you can't see. It just heats God to be Jesus. I mean, you're going to, I tell you, you just have no idea. Satan's tactics. You're on your five senses. Your faith can't compete well with your senses, your flesh. Your flesh is powerful. It hurts. You want to stop the hurt. You know, you feel pain. Give me an aspirin. This is what we are today. And we're going to obey our senses, even though we know it's not by our senses, not by our flesh, but by our spirit. But you're forgetting the counterfeiter. You can't pass counterfeit money around. If it looks like Monopoly money, I mean, they got pins. You mark the money. If it turns a color, it's counterfeit, maybe. You hold it up to the light to try to look for the line. You look for the watermarks. And then finally you give up. You say, well, I don't know. And you accept it. Because who knows? It still might be counterfeit. Counterfeits are to look real. They're to trick you. Bibles are all the same way. You ain't going to pick up a modern version that is going to say Satan's counterfeit Bible on the front. Isn't you not going to open up and the pictures are going to be a Pentagon star or something with a circle around it? Isn't that, you're not going to see that kind of stuff. You're not going to read about witches and stuff. You're going to read about Jesus with the Christ taken out. King James is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In the modern verse, it's Jesus. 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 But Christ is gone. And the mushy, wonderful promises of God are watered down. They're not mentioned as details. In the King James Version, you put version to version, you could see, what is the matter with the King James? It's just monotonous sometimes because it gets the detail about Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and our blessings is thus and such and so forth. It seems to want us to know that Jesus is the Christ. Where the modern versions is, let's just don't worry too much about that. Because you know, after all, we don't want the Christ part in Jesus. And this will be conditioned into you. So seeing all these things, going to Indian reservations and so forth, I see the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm assuming God. I mean, when are you ever going to wake up to that? Lots of people will say, well, Assembly of God don't believe gay. They think gay is sin. So what? 35 years in the Assembly of God means something, people. They have a statement of faith. They have their doctrines, and they have their sermons, and they have people there, and they have the move of the Holy Spirit, and so forth. 35 years. And I've been to lots of Assembly of God churches. And other Pentecostal type of churches. You're not going to get away with any kind of flaky kind of thing. Well, they don't believe that. Well, so what? Your denomination don't believe a lot of things. And most of the church is simply going to believe gay is sin. So what? That doesn't negate or destroy or take away from the experience one gets for being 35 years in a particular denomination. And I tell you this purposely about the Assembly of God, because you're not going to find churches that are more, as it were, sincere, not to lessen your Baptists or your other kinds of churches around there at all, but to make a point. Now, the Baptists and the Assembly of God, they're almost in the same belief category, except that often Baptists will think baptized the Holy Spirit means Satan tongues. But that's beside the point. Doctrinal issues are not so bad to be a concern when you're talking about the fundamental principles, the statement of faith. And when I say I'm in the Assembly of God, it means that I got 35 years of hearing this kind of teaching. Doesn't mean I agree with it all, but let me tell you something. There's not all that much that I disagree with. What I don't like to see is the moving on to modern versions. What I don't like to see is the puffed-upness they're getting. What I don't like to see is the overtaking of Assembly of God by Masons, 33rd degree Masons, getting into the secret society and starting to use these terms, which is not good. But this is happening to all the churches. All the churches are working for a one-world religion, and it isn't of God. The one-world religion wants you to hold hands. They want Jesus to hold hands with Satan and walk in the world. Hi, let's help here. Oh, let's help here. Let's help everybody better. You know, all the world. That's what one world religion is about. Everybody teams up. Satan and Jesus together, walking hand in hand, best friends, helping the world. And this is what the church is doing today. You got to look at it. Assembling yourselves all or more together doesn't mean to go to Satan churches, as it were. And I'm not trying to say the denominations are Satan. Generally speaking, they're basically pretty good. But they're in the spiral down to serving Satan and misleading people, which is going to have an effect soon when the other deceptions start to manifest. And there's going to be powerful deceptions. And you're not ready for it. So my ministry entails trying to help you get ready. And also, Jesus. You know what Jesus did? He said, you, come with me. The 12 apostles. It's debatable. Did he already knew them? I think that he already knew them, because I don't care how much God you are. Yes, you could do things zap, 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 but he's got a rule he gave himself. Choice. Your will. You choose. Well, these people just chose him. How come? Because they knew him. Then, just actually, all of a sudden, got zapped with the Holy Spirit and said, yeah, I'm coming with you. Let me follow you, Jesus. Nope. He said, yeah, I know this guy. He did sort of mention that a day will come when he might be calling us. And so, you know, something more to the story than just him simply walking up saying, come. That's all we have in the story. We got other writings and stuff, and we got logical sense. You can't base those on as saying those are the Word of God, but you could guess a lot. And some of the guessing makes a lot of sense because, you know, human nature is human nature. We reject Jesus all the time, people. We reject God. Why are these 12 apostles not going to reject him? Well, anyway, so Jesus came up and said, come, come, come. And then what did Jesus do? He just, okay, yeah, I'm me, gotta come. No, that's not what he did at all. What did he do? It's the Beatitudes, you know, Sermon on the Mount and all that. But hey, come on now, wake up. You can't go out and just listen to some crackpot. No, what do you hear in the stories? They said they heard he healed people. They heard about the miracles. Jesus ministered cheating. Nothing wrong with this kind of cheating. But he cheated. Who wouldn't want to get healed? Well, you're sick. You want to be well. So Jesus made you well. You know, they liked it. They flocked to him. The Bible does say that many didn't stick around, you know. They just wanted to get healed. But it made a crowd. And Jesus was able to tell the story. And the apostles was able to write it down. Inspired. They didn't go just write down whatever they want. Some people want to have them out interviewing, act like they're doing investigative work to try the things out. In some cases, they probably actually did because they wanted to get their memory going right. And this idea that suddenly, magically, you're dictating from God and writing it down. No. Sometimes that could be the case. Other times, God already knows you. Already gave you the information, and your life goes on and on. He knows that once you search it out, you're going to be writing down exactly what he knows and wanted you to, because you're inspired to do it that way, as it were, and it would be Bible. But then it goes, da 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 da, and God said, now write this, put the period there, now put a question mark, start that with a capital, and paragraph. No, he didn't do that kind of stuff. But for general practical purposes, it might as well have been like that because they were inspired, period. And they wrote that people came to Jesus because they're hearing things like, you can get healed. Oh, just about every time that Jesus said anything, healing happened. They all came. I mean, how long is this? Here Jesus is. He tells a story. You know, Sermon on the Mount, we could read it faster than a sermon, than a preacher can preach a message on it. So was there more and so forth? Well, we could just imagine, you know, here Jesus preached his little sermon. Great, wonderful. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. That could be a whole other issue, wonderful sermons and all that comes out of. But we're talking about the part that he finishes that part about it. And then what's he do? It sounds like he spent hours, because there were crowds, 5,000 sometimes, and more, 7,000. And what did he do? He laid hands on them. He didn't say he gave up. He said, okay, that's enough, an hour's enough. He didn't say 2 hours enough. He didn't say 3 hours enough. He just kept laying hands on them, Heal them, heal, heal, heal. He just kept doing that. So Jesus spent a lot of time that only takes us a couple minutes to read or less. Doing what? Healing. Now you look at our church today, do you see much healing going on? Oh no, he said, well, he doesn't do that too often. So you should stop? Anyway, not my idea to stop. God's given me some visions and some fantastic ideas about the process of being pretty much making sure God gets the glory on the healing effects of my ministry. When I come to your church, if you invite me, there's going to be an interesting healing session. The move of God will happen. It could take many forms. I don't know. One way is, like I was saying, standard healing. I talk to you a bit. Give you good encouragement, as it were. Praise, worship, so to speak. Get your people or whatever, sing a song or two, and you know, all the pretty much usual things to the usual build-up, as it were, to get people, you know, believing kind of mood. It doesn't really have to be that way. You could just say be healed and be done with it. But, you know, we like this kind of stuff of making a nice little service out of it, because some it works really well. We need to get a little information through here, and then we'll have healing. So this is one other way. You'll get physically healed. And Jesus will get the glory. The other way of me coming to your church is talk about the gay issue. And that kind of an issue is going to be something very different. Either you're going to call me in to get some information so you'll more understand things, which is fine, or it's going to be a challenge type of thing. You're going to do what you know, trying to prove to me that gay is sin. You're going to lay hands on, cast demons out, do all you know in the Spirit and all that kind of stuff. Your pastor's going to be very much involved. It's going to be your whole church against me, by myself. Not going to bring anybody, just me. And you're going to walk in there, okay, now go ahead, lay hands on me. Yeah, I will. You want me to bow down or whatever? I love Jesus. I'm not going to fake anything. I'm going to submit myself and let you do this thing now. Come on now. Lay your hands on me. Talk to me. Tell me. Give me information. Preach. Do what you need to do. Take as long as you want. If you need a few days to fast and pray to start to get themes up, okay. And then once you're done, then it's my turn. I won't need as long as you do, but God will move. And I don't think you're going to like the way the manifestation of the Holy Spirit will be if I'm coming in a challenge. Because I come to get you right. And ye want to be right. And it's going to hurt. Not because I did anything, but because you're going to go out and it's not going to be fun no more. Watch. It'll happen. If you don't know Jesus, turn and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Now read the King James Version. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And don't forget to invite me to your church. Let's have Sunday go and meet together.